Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Our thanks to this week's sponsor, Hayloft Plants of Pershore, Worcestershire.
There is no better group of plants of power than forms of the shrubby potentilla, producing single roots like flowers, continually from germ to the first frost.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to exchange some news, views, a bit of seasonal advice and hopefully answer some of your gardening quandaries. It's been quite a year. None of us have experienced anything like it. So on Christmas Eve, please excuse me for a minute while the fizzy apple juice is uncorked. And I've got a packet of crisps open too. So we're kicking off the festive season. Excuse me just a minute. So there we are. Cheers. The start to the festive season. And for me, to have a few relaxing days. That should include, with luck, a few hours winter digging if the weather will dry up a bit. Oh, I love digging. It's such a relaxing thing to do, usually with my friendly robin fluttering around my feet. And when you've finished, no matter how long, maybe just half an hour or so or several hours, you end up physically tired with a good appetite and ready for a full night's sleep. And as you finish, you can just glance back and admire all that soil turned clean and neat, ready for the new season. Actually, looking back over 2020, as far as I'm concerned, an interesting lesson for me was the large size of narcissus and tulip bulbs that we planted by the thousand between Christmas and New Year 2019. It was a bit late, but they flowered beautifully come spring. So if you've got any lifted bulbs left in the shed or the garage, be sure to plant over the next few days. Now, who better to discuss our rear view of the 2020 gardening year than Trevor Pfeiffer, editor of Garden Trade News and the weekly publisher of Gardening's Bestsellers. He's an absolute font of information on the garden trade. Now, Trevor, I think it would be fair to say that 2000 has been, shall we say, less than a normal gardening year.
You could say that, Peter. the stories we've covered in Garden Trade News have just been amazing, really. The year actually started off quite slowly for everybody compared to other years, then got going in March and people were panicking. And I remember going to garden centres who were busy converting coffee shops that had closed down into temporary veg stores and food stores so they could try and stay open. But then, of course, there was that closure at the end, towards the end of March, where they then remained closed for 7 weeks. And that actually meant for GTM Bestsellers, where we analyse sales on a weekly basis, on that part of the business, we had nothing to do for 7 weeks because there were no sales going through the tills of garden centres, other than those that managed to keep going to do some click and collect and local deliveries. And hats off to them, because the efforts they put into to doing that for their local customers were tremendous.
Looking at your graph, there are all these peaks and troughs, but then when the lockdown came, it was just a straight line on the bottom line, absolutely nothing at all.
It was for our data, because we just record products that are sold through garden centres when they're open for retail. Some of the garden centres we get data from were actually doing deliveries, so there would have been some sales going through, but just a tiny percentage. And of course, a lot of those garden centres that were doing that had no idea whether they were making any money doing it, but those garden centres were determined to keep serving their local customers. And I know some of them got very close to selling out of compost a few weeks during closure because the demand was huge. Of course, there was problems with supply during that period.
I mean, at Baytree, I think they got down to the last bag at one stage, didn't they?
Absolutely. And at Baytree, it happens to be my local garden centre, but at Baytree, they were the whole family, you know, sons, daughters, boyfriends, girlfriends of grandchildren were there working while all the proper staff were off on furloughed leave. They were delivering at 8 and 9 o'clock at night to keep people supplied. It's a tremendous effort. And I know at Alton's in Essex as well, they had a similar story where the family was out delivering in their vans to all hours to get stuff out. And that happened in pockets across the country.
Trevor, I know that David, just up the road from me, I think he lost a stone, he said.
Yeah.
Loading and offloading bags of compost.
Yeah, and then there were garden centres in Cornwall who turned themselves into a local produce and food service. So they were providing local food parcels and food deliveries to their customers, as well as plants and garden materials. So it proved, actually, that when push comes to shove, garden centres really are the centres of people's communities, and they can provide those kind of services. But the most important thing was going on in the background, and you were a party to this, was all of the work that was done through the industry to lobby government to make sure that the end result was for garden centres to become open. But the key thing was to make sure that British growers' plants could be sold, because obviously the growers had lost a whole load of sales from earlier on in the year. And that work was just tremendous. And that meant that 7 weeks after closing, well, the floodgates opened. Garden centres have worked on less staff. They've sold more product. I'm not sure whether they've made more profit, but they've certainly sold more. The sad thing of it is that the only part of the industry that hasn't caught up substantially is the sales from the plant area of actual plants, because those plants that would have been sold during late March and April and early May couldn't be sold later on because that part of the season had just gone. So on all the figures that we monitor, plants have ended up the year in terms of volume sales still 20% down on the year, whereas growing media, people actually getting on growing, has ended up the year 3 or 4% up, even though we had no sales recorded for 7 weeks during the key parts of the season. So,
absolutely amazing that is, don't you think? And for years we've been talking about recruiting the next generation to gardening, and I mean it seems to have happened overnight following the opening up from the lockdown.
Well, that's it. Garden centres have reported so many new and different customers coming into them since they reopened. I expected when they first reopened for it to be really keen gardeners coming in and catching up on things they wanted to do. And they did. But actually, there were also a hell of a lot of new gardeners just coming to a garden centre for the first time, because they'd spent 7 weeks wanting to do things in their garden, not necessarily being able to, but somebody summed it up. People have just had time to appreciate that they have a garden and that they can do things in it. And of course, ultimately, that means growing things. I kind of reckon that there's at least a third, if not sometimes up to two thirds more gardening going on this autumn than there would be normally. That shows a lot of people have got the bug and want to do things in their garden. What better way to decorate your outside room than to grow plants?
Well, exactly. And the benefit to the environment too. You know, if people are not driving out in their cars and flying all over the world and just pottering happily at home, it must have a valuable effect on the environment.
And also personal and mental health of people being outside. And of course, we've heard lots of stories. There was one on the radio the other day about you know, horticulture is a good therapy for veterans who are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. gardening is a great therapy, isn't it? To experience that joy of planting something and seeing it grow. And of course, harvesting crops, which goes on to talk about veg growing. I mean, veg growing has just gone through the roof. I would imagine this year there was probably less tomatoes sold in supermarkets during August and September than normal because people had grown them all at home. And one of the really good things is some research was done by one of the suppliers during the summer. They asked of these new gardeners, had they had success in their garden? We all worry about new gardeners coming to the market and not being successful. I think it was over 75% of people said they'd had some success. Now, some success might be just growing two tomatoes or two potatoes. We don't know. But if people perceive they've had success, then the chances are they're going to get on and do something. If only a third of them carry on gardening, that's a million more customers. But it does mean that garden centres and gardening clubs need to think differently about how they attract and how they serve these new gardeners. Because they have different information needs, they have different requirements, and they can find a lot of information out on the internet, but they still need that word of mouth contact. They still need that reassurance that a member of staff in a garden centre or a member of a gardening club could give them to say, look, in this area, this works best, you know, because of the regional differences with soil and climate and stuff.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm interested, Ian, that you pick up on the gardening clubs, because I had a message recently from Frank Hardy, who was deputy principal at Pershore College and does quite a lot of talks now in retirement to horticultural societies. And of course, all of those meetings have been cancelled for 9 months. And he says that he fears a number of them are not going to open. Our local society here, thanks to a generous gift of some bulbs by Hayloft, have just delivered 10 tulips to every member. Next April, when we hope to be back with meetings, they can bring what they've grown. And if we can't meet, they can send in photographs. And so we've kept the society alive. And I think it is important that those things are kept alive by some means or another.
Absolutely. And I would urge every garden society just to keep going and keep ticking over, because at the end of the day, over the garden fence, personal one-to-one contact and reassurance for people when they're gardening is just everything, isn't it? It just always has been the key form of communication in our industry. Yes, the internet is there for people to refer to and to get ideas from and to get some basic information. But speaking to somebody who's been there, done it, got the picture and has got that experience, it's just amazing. And that's why garden centres are such a great source of information for people.
Well, everybody gains confidence, both the member of staff and the customer. They both gain confidence from success. But Trevor, can I move you on now to Christmas? Because Garden Trade News is always, you know, up to its armpits, shall we say, in Christmas.
Our figures show Christmas sales in volume are down slightly year on year. But I think that's because Christmas started selling before I start recording Christmas product sales. So I have to do some cross analysis on that. But see, normally at this time of year, I'd be on a road trip visiting up to 100 garden centres the length and breadth of the country to see their Christmas displays. But because of lockdown 2 and I'm now in a tier 4 area here, I can't go and do that Well, I could go and do it technically for work, but I feel it's not really a good idea to do it. So this year for our Greatest Christmas Awards, the Garden Centres are sending their photographs and their ideas and all of their charity initiatives into us for the Greatest Christmas Awards. And there's been some great activity going on. I think one of the neatest products I've seen, it's we have an award for the Festive Food Hall, and Glendoick Garden Centre in Scotland have been selling these wonderful festive Christmas pudding cheeses. So it's Scottish.
Just a minute. Christmas pudding cheese.
It's cheddar cheese from one of the Western Isles, but it's wrapped in wax, and the wax is decorated in the style of a Christmas pudding. It looks wonderful. If I'd have been on the road, I'd have brought some back for certain. And of course, by not being able to go to Scotland to visit Christmas, I've missed out on my haggis breakfast bap at Mains of Drum Garden Centre.
Yes, what about some of the English people then, you know?
Roger Crooks told me that down at Pews, because they made an early decision not to do their grotto this year, because they have an award-winning grotto that thousands of children usually visit, they then were able to put more effort into their Christmas displays. And the other thing that I've noticed in a lot of the entries from the English garden centres is their attention to detail on keeping Christmas safe from a COVID point of view. Aylett's in St Albans have adopted a shop and go mantra, and they've made it really clear that what they want people to do is come and shop and go. And they even almost created a semi drive through sales area for their Christmas trees. A few garden centres have done that this year. I take my hat off to the garden centres, because they really have done superb efforts to keep themselves, their customers and their staff safe.
But Trevor, what about the future then? What do you think we've got for 2021?
Well, I think that for 2021, if the weather is good, it's going to be a boom, boom, boom year. I think, 25%, 30% more activity than usual. As John Ainscough at Summerseat Garden Centre pointed out to me, he said, it's all right you saying there's all these new gardeners there, and it's all right you talking about the worries of Brexit, but at the end of the day, we are dictated to by the weather.
Entirely, yeah.
The most worrying thing for the industry at the moment is all the products that come in from China, in particular furniture, being stuck in containers and prices being put up. So anybody that bought furniture and barbecues this year, well done, because you've got a good deal. Next year, it might be at a premium just because the prices of the container transport are going up so much. And there are, the industry is concerned about plants from Europe, which will predominantly be house plants. Because the one thing I really wish we had some UK growers getting serious about growing house plants and foliage house plants for the UK market, because that's such a growth area at the moment. And the only real suppliers are the Dutch and the Belgians. So we need those supplies to be coming over still.
Trevor, I spoke to Hills Brothers, Greg, because I had a picture of red begonia for Christmas. And he said, oh, no. He said, that's gone. We're all into green plants now.
Oh, good. Okay.
So one or two of our big producers have already made that switch.
It is a booming market, I think, and especially these new gardeners, they understand the value of plants. Mike Wyatt, our associate editor, just wrote an introduction for our sustainability directory, which we published this month. And he coined the phrase that nature will become second nature to new gardeners, or is second nature to new gardeners. You know, they really do understand the nature side of it. So we need to harness that.
That's a great headline, Trevor.
It is, yes. Peter, yeah. When you get your copy, have a read of the sustainability directory, and there's an article in there called The New Environmentalist, just looking at long-term trends that have all of a sudden skyrocketed in terms of, people being environmentally conscious and aware. And there's a whole army of people who will be gardeners and have become gardeners, but they're gardeners with a slightly different outlook on life. You know, they really do want to do things naturally in nature, and they understand that plants are good to have.
Trevor, can you give us any examples of a new emphasis when it comes to our new gardeners?
Well, it's an interesting one, Peter, because sales of wild bird feeds through garden centres in the data that we get for GTN bestsellers are down year on year. But I know that more people are doing more looking after wildlife. We think a lot of those sales went online during lockdown one, and people are just getting them delivered to home. What I do see is an increase in sales of things like hedgehog feeds, very specific bird feeds. For example, this week in the World Wild Bird Care Chart, Jacoby Jane's I Love Robins bird feed was an entry into the bestsellers chart. So, you know, very specific things, you know, hedgehog houses, squirrel-proof bird feeders. And I just sense that this new gardener is conscious of the fact that if they attract wildlife into their gardens, that becomes a natural deterrent for lots of the pests and the diseases that they, or not diseases, but the pests that they could have on their fly that they might have, their parents might have treated with chemicals in the past.
Well, we should expect little robin redbreast food to be popular this week before Christmas, shouldn't we?
Oh, absolutely. This year, almost anything with a robin on sold well.
Trevor, it's always great to speak to you. You and Mike, when you think of the experience you have in the retail field, thank you very much for today. Have a good Christmas, and we all look forward to a very successful new year.
Cheers, Peter.
And what about the tailpiece? Well, there was a cartoon from Twitter with two ladies chatting over the garden fence, and one asks, "So what do you plan on growing next year?" To which she replies, "Older and crankier." We will all be older next year, and quite likely I will get even more cranky. But there we are. Rich and I are taking a week off next week, so look forward to a relaxing time for a few days, and also to speaking again in the new year. Do your very best to have a happy Christmas. Our thanks to this week's sponsor, Hayloft Plants of Pershore, Worcestershire.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.